fantasy opinion that matters.
Stan, you need a power forward.
I have Dirk Nowitzki.
He's soft, Stan. You need a thug. You need Ron Artest.
I don't want Ron Artest. You know, forget it. I'll have Steve set my lineup.
Expert analysis giving you the inside track for your league's crown.
Where's Steve? Want to see how my fantasy basketball team's doing?
Well, he understood the fantasy part, but had no idea what basketball was. He tried to add 3 Griffins and an orc to your roster.
Nerd.
This is PDX Fantasy Sports Pundits.
Where in the court of law do you use the phrase, I'm going to get this right, balls deep?
Well, if you must know, Mr. Swall, we're representing a children's playground consortium. Number of children drowned in a ball pit. We're wondering how deep is balls deep?
They were up to their mouth in balls.
Yes, they were balls deep.
Really?
Now, broadcasting live on MixLR Internet Radio from Intercom Studios in Portland, Oregon, here is Jesse Osmond.
Peyton Manning in the shotgun. 2 receivers left, 1 right. Passing down. Manning looks to the left. As Moreno dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Broncos.
And Kevin Davis.
Romo under center. Austin in motion. Romo will look to throw. Looks across the middle. Nothing there. Slides out to the right. Throwing back in zone. Leaping for the grab. Dez Bryant with a catch. Dez Bryant with the score.
Now, here is the PDX Fantasy Sports Pundits.
I'm never going to get sick of ever hearing a Peyton Manning call.
Peyton Manning with the touchdown. Yeah. Yeah, I know you'll always be enjoying that every time you hear that.
Every time. Just, you had more of a seamless transition into a better quarterback situation after Romo left than us Bronco fans did. So, still
having to find somebody, make sure you got the right guy. Do you trust him?
I don't know about Keenum.
Not trusting him yet.
4 INTs in 2 games.
Not likable by any means whatsoever.
Now, there were some questionable calls in that game. There were 2 touchdown catches or passes that were overturned by the referees. 1 I thought was a catch. 1 I thought was... I mean, granted, if you don't have TV replay, it's a touchdown, but with TV replay and you can zoom in on that and you can see every blade of grass in that high def,
right?
His toe like touched
barely
like
just a
couple blades of the white grass, so yeah, I guess that one's not a touchdown, but one of them definitely was. So one I would say questionable call, the other one I think it was properly overturned via replay, as I recall. But a lot of chat back and forth with me and my other Bronco fans during that game. We were none impressed with the offensive performance. Although Philip Lindsay looked good again. I don't know if you guys seen any of the highlights from that game. It wasn't locally played here. I'm sure some of it was on Red Zone. I found a stream online. Made it happen.
He was playing pretty good,
man. Currently, he's like, an RB. I mean, he's an RB2 going forward, possibly.
If you got him on your team, you're not upset. I mean, he put up over 100 yards rushing again, so I'm not mad at that at all.
He's looking good. It's kind of amazing that that guy was never invited to the combine,
right,
of all things, to show off that speed that he had to wait until the regular season of the NFL season to show that you all missed.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all missed. And if he's out in your league, you should probably go pick him up if you still can. If you have the waiver priority to make that happen, you should probably make that happen. But he was one of the most added players last week, and rightfully so. He's up for a couple awards this week. He's the man.
I don't see him being available right now. If you didn't went and picked him up last week, then you lost your chance that you had. because I'm pretty sure everyone has him right now, if not starting, then definitely on their bench.
Let's bring up my roster here in the ESPN Fantasy League, because as we all know, I picked up Philip Lindsay before waiver wire time, even, because I saw this coming. Like I told y'all.
You just knew it was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen. And it did. I just like to say I told you so. I told you all to pick him up. And currently owned in ESPN in 61.7% of leagues. So 38.3% of leagues, you still have a chance on the Philip Lindsay sweepstakes. And it is a sweepstakes at this point. Fun week of Sunday football.
Yeah, it was a good week.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Is off to an unprecedented start of 6 touchdown passes last week for his first week, 10 total in the first 2 weeks. That is a first in the NFL. And he is blowing the socks off of defensive coordinators.
Yeah, when you're going 23 for 28, 300 some yards, 6 touchdowns this week, and what, he threw 4 or 5 last week. That kid is definitely showing you. Well, should have picked my ass up, and he's probably available in a lot of leagues right now too. If you think about it, I don't see nobody remember picking him up for a fantasy team.
Well, after week one, he was kind of a hot pickup name. I know that there were a lot of people on the hype train for him coming into the season. And he is not readily available. Currently, ESPN leagues 91.3% owned.
So everybody went and started jumping on him after that first week.
He was, like I said, he was one of those, you know, preseason breakout candidates. Position ranked 2 right now, depending on, you know, what type of league you're in. That was a 6 point per touchdown league right there. I think only person that is currently contending with him right now is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is readily available. Currently, Ryan Fitzpatrick available in 30. He's only owned in 31.3% of ESPN leagues.
That's a little surprising, but then again, I know it's a lot of people that just know Fitzpatrick, and after that first week, they weren't going to be like, oh yeah, he's going to be fantastic next week's too. And sure enough, he came back out and went crazy in week 2. So I could see that going up a lot after this week.
So we'll talk about Fitzmagic a little bit later in the show. Mahomes, though, right now, do want to dive into that a little bit. I'm curious, is Mahomes a... are you holding on to that guy? Are you selling high? Do you believe he is capable of sustaining similar numbers going forward?
I'm going to say that, yeah, he's showing that he can definitely give you what you want from a quarterback. I don't know if he's going to continue to be able to do that the entire season. So I would have him as a backup, depending on who they're playing, or if you're seeing that he's going to continue to do what he's doing, that's a good thing. But I'm not totally sold on him being my starting quarterback for the rest of the season.
I'm starting in week 3 against San Francisco. They're hosting San Francisco.
That'll be a good start.
Okay. At Denver, I think is going to be tough, but I think with the first 3 weeks that he has, you have to start him in Denver. If he has a good performance in Denver, they host Jacksonville. I think you have to play him against Jacksonville if he performs well. New England got a pretty good performance out of Tom Brady against Jacksonville. They don't quite seem as daunting as they were last year out the gate. So not to say that they're not an elite defense or a great defense, but I don't know if they're quite on point as they were last year.
Not sold with Jacksonville defense.
I feel like there are a few other defenses that are a little bit more intimidating, Rams being one of them.
Oh, most definitely.
So, and currently, you know what? He's got the LA Rams in week 11. So that's going to be one where you're thinking about, oh, do I want to start him or not? So there are a few games this year where you're going to be a little bit concerned. He's got Baltimore week 14, Rams week 11, Denver twice. So week 8 and week 4, and then Jacksonville week 5. So To be honest, that Cincinnati defense looks pretty decent as well. So they got them in seven. So there's definitely some defenses that you're going to be facing against him. And I think maybe bring him back down to earth a little bit. I think he's still going to be a great quarterback. He's probably a starter going forward. Whether he's a top five or not all the way down the stretch, I don't know. I obviously 10 touchdowns or 5 touchdowns a game currently, what he's averaging the first 2 weeks is not sustainable. We've seen some amazing quarterbacks and they've never come close to doing that. So I do think if somebody offers you Antonio Brown for Patrick Mahomes, what are you doing?
Whew. That's a big question, because Antonio Brown is currently going through his little situation over there in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is all over the place right now. Got everybody a little worried.
Drama.
Yeah, it's a lot of drama going on. So I'm not positive that I would take that at this point. I mean, it's still Antonio Brown. He's going to give you his points. But when you ain't showing up for work on Monday, if we didn't let you guys know that, he didn't show up for work on Monday. He had a little issue with the offensive coordinator on the sideline. If you were watching the game, he was over there really upset, cussing him out pretty much. And on Twitter, somebody said something to him, and he said, "Well, trade me and see how well you guys do," because they're saying that it wasn't, it's not you. It's if you didn't have Big Ben, then you wouldn't be doing the things that you do. No, Antonio Brown, you see the things that he's able to do. I could be throwing him the ball and he'd be finding a way to catch the damn ball.
That guy obviously doesn't watch Antonio Brown run routes.
Right. Exactly.
He runs routes at an elite level, and that's why Antonio Brown is who he is. And obviously it helps having a guy like Big Ben Roethlisberger, but let's face it, route running a big part of being an elite receiver, and he does it better than anybody else in the league. So you thinking about that, giving pause, just kind of tells you guys what the value is of Patrick Mahomes going forward. You better be getting something of a significant value if you're going to let go of that guy, despite the fact that that is a very deep class of position. You know, you got a lot of great quarterbacks out there. And you know, it would probably be hard to do right now because you got a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick out there on the waiver wire. So we'll talk about the waiver wire a little bit later. Currently what I want to do is get into, the week of football, week one, do maybe a quicker breakdown than we did last week and, kind of go from there. Let's see if we can bring up that Thursday night game.
Oh, yeah. Ravens and Bengals.
The Ravens and the Bengals. I thought that was kind of interesting. We're going to just touch on this. The Ravens defense, obviously, I think it should have been highly started week two. I think a lot of people thought the Red Rifle would be throwing a couple interceptions. The way that the Ravens played week one, they'd be getting some sacks and be generating some points, and it was not the case.
No sacks. No interceptions. Yeah, Dalton came through and definitely showed you guys that he wasn't playing around in week one, and he can definitely give you some points if need be.
Dalton was excellent, at least in the first half. He looked to struggle a little bit in the second half. Yeah. Those second half adjustments from the Ravens got them back in the game, made it somewhat interesting there in the second half. They held the Bengals to 6 points. So, 28 of the Bengals' 34 points came in the first half of that game, which just kind of showed you how fast how quickly they ran out to a lead in that game, which kind of led to them abandoning the run. Alex Collins becomes less of a factor in this game. Javorius Buck Allen steals a goal line score in this game. A lot of question marks with fantasy assets in this Ravens squad. And I guess the one being that I have that came out of this, and we can talk about maybe the running back situation as well, but the defense laying a total egg, is that going to be a concern going forward?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a concern. I'm not sure you want to be starting that, but it's Flacco can only do so much. And if your defense is able to help him out and not make him have to play from behind, I feel like he plays better when they have the lead and they're not having to come back from two touchdowns back. I think Flacco will play a little bit better. So the defense definitely has to come out, and it's something that I'm currently worried about with the Ravens.
Now, they do kind of get a nice bounce back game. They're hosting my Denver Broncos for an early morning Sunday game. That means Denver has to travel cross country to Baltimore, not all the way across because they are kind of in, you know, the central a little central area in the U.S., but they still have to travel. They have to play the early game, and they have Keenum, who has thrown four interceptions in the first 2 weeks of the season. So a little bit of a bounce back, but I honestly am a little bit worried about that as well. Harbaugh came out today, said he needs to try to get Alex Collins going a little bit more. Alex Collins has been overlooked in this offense the first 2 weeks. To me, looks like the most explosive back. Yet Javorius Buck-Allen continues to get run. I believe that is a concern, but I also do believe Alex Collins is a buy low candidate as well.
Yeah, he should have gotten a lot more runs than he did last week. I think he only had like 9 carries, and I feel like that's again them having to play from behind. You start getting rid of the running game and you start throwing the ball a little bit more. But yeah, Collins should definitely be getting some more touches than what he's currently getting.
Falcons, Panthers. We got a big bounce back game from Matt Ryan, which you called on the podcast last week.
Yep.
Calvin Ridley got his first professional touchdown. Christian McCaffrey had 14 receptions for 102 yards. Huge game for PPR format. Tevin Coleman, 16 carries for 102 yards. So really all the fantasy assets in play for this game performed except for one, and which I kind of said, I think I said this last week, that Julio Jones was going to be down this week.
He wasn't going to be doing the same thing that he was showing you the week prior. Yeah, most definitely.
Still incredibly useful in PPR, but not what you wanted after what he gave you in week one. And once again, failed to find the end zone.
Yep.
Any takeaways from the Falcons Panthers that you want to talk about?
Nothing mainly. Julio Jones, still start him. He's going to give you points. He's not going to give you those week one points every week, but he's still going to be solid for you. Matt Ryan, he's kind of a roll of dice. You know, he's always going to come back better the week after he plays horrible. He's going to put it up for what he needs to do, especially during a conference game like that. The Panthers, though, I feel like they got a little bit of. They got some stuff that you can be looking at right now. I feel like their running back, who is running great right now, Christian McCaffrey, he had like 102 yards last
102 receiving yards last week. Yep.
Yeah, that's just in the receiving. So his running wasn't so much, but his receivings are like little slow or little short passes that Cam Newton is getting out of the backfield. So he's definitely going to be good in a PPR league for you.
Yeah, no, Christian McCaffrey definitely really kind of making PPR owners happy. We would like to see him get in the end zone a little bit more, but as we all know, the Cam Newton effect in the red zone, once they get inside that 5-yard line, they love to use Cam Newton as their battering ram, which does devalue their running backs a bit. The Bills are becoming an issue for fantasy owners is the fact that they are getting smashed so hard that your fantasy players don't get to play the whole game. The starters come in, they get some love. And so what looks like a juicy matchup is turning out the first 2 weeks to not have as much fruit for some of the players, as running backs are starting to see less action going into the fourth quarter because the leads are so significant.
Yep.
You know, Keenan Allen kind of had a down game because all the other receivers were doing so well. So certain players, you kind of have to maybe expect less out of those players going into the game with the Bills just because – so many more points are going to be given around to the rest of the team.
Yeah, it gets a little it's a little sad to watch when you got to deal with that. I think LeSean McCoy got hurt during the game.
I had a rib injury in that game.
Yeah, didn't look too good.
And your backups from there, Chris Ivory, and then they have a rookie back there, Murray, who they're kind of a 1-2 punch without LeSean McCoy there. I think you're right now, your best asset, if LeSean McCoy isn't there, would be probably Chris Ivory.
Yeah. But still, I would avoid that at all costs. That wouldn't be somebody I'd be picking up. No.
Pretty much avoiding LeSean McCoy as well, but he did perform better last week than I thought he would. The Vikings-Packers, that was a tie game. Got tons of points there from Kirk Cousins, 425 yards, 4 touchdowns. Jamal Williams, another dud. Adam Thielen, another great game, 131 yards, touchdown. Stephen Diggs was also on fire. He had 2 receiving touchdowns. Just lots of points in here, except for points from the guys you wanted on the Vikings, except for the kicker.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It was all kicking for the Packers. It was kind of a dud for Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't look great out there, but he's getting the job done. He still looks better than most quarterbacks. He just doesn't look vintage Aaron Rodgers. That kind of brings down the value of some of these other players. Titans got their first win of the season. Texans still looking to get their first win. Deshaun Watson looks a little better, but still not quite where you want to be. Marcus Mariota gone. Titans are just a mess, by the way. I don't know how they got this win.
Yeah, that offensive line, we were just talking about this right before we started up. That offensive line is all over the place. Your quarterback is getting hurt, and your running backs don't know if they running the ball or having to play part of the offensive line at this point, the way that your offensive line doesn't exist. So I would avoid anybody that's playing on the Titans in a fantasy league.
I'm definitely benching Henry until further notice.
Yep.
I don't think he's droppable at the moment. I still got to wait to see where this Titans offense is going to go. We haven't seen really anything from it in the first 2 weeks because of injuries and just so many different factors that we're still waiting to see what we can actually get out of this Titans offense and see when all of these parts are getting it on the field at the same time. They were down to their third string right tackle last week. So just so many factors holding this Titans offense back right now. We're kind of holding on all those assets, and we're still waiting for that breakout from Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Browns, Saints.
This one was a little shocking, this game, brother. I was watching this like, is this really about to happen? I thought that the Saints was getting ready to lose to the Browns.
Yeah, we were back and forth on this game a little bit on Twitter. It just blows my mind after this game too. It was there's a call for Baker Mayfield as if it was Tyrod Taylor's fault that they lost this game.
Right.
If you did not see it, he had a magnificent 46-yard touchdown pass to Callaway in the final moments of that game, and all they needed was a extra point and a field goal from their kicker in the end.
I feel so bad for them.
And well, needless to say, they got neither.
Yeah.
Dolphins, Jets. Sam Darnold came back down to earth. Quincy Enunwa still looking good. 7 receptions, 92 yards. Kenyon Drake still in a timeshare. Only 11 carries last week. That is a concern, but he did find the end zone. What are we thinking of this Dolphins offense? Kenny Stills had a down game. Kenyon Drake is in a true timeshare with Frank Gore.
It's just not trustable. It's another team that you kind of want to avoid having. I got Stills in a couple of leagues, but had a reason to put them on the bench because they were going up against that Jets defense. And after seeing the Jets play the previous week, I was like, oh, you know what? I just don't see him coming out and thank the Lord I did, because like you said, have you only put up like what 15 yards or something like that? It's getting bad. It's just a team that you don't want to trust and you don't want to have starting anybody that's on that team on your fantasy league.
Yeah, no, I also had benched last week. I believe he's going to have more good weeks than bad weeks, but it's going to be hard to know when those weeks are coming.
Yeah.
He's a great bench asset to have, a bye week fill in guy. I just don't want him to be a true corner piece of my starting lineup going forward. Jets are still trying to figure out their wide receivers situation outside of Quincy Enunwa. Terrell Pryor did have a good game in that one. Chiefs, we talked about as far as Patrick Mahomes. Kareem Hunt finally got going, 18 carries, 75 yards. He's looking better, but I'm still worried about his usage in this offense. He's still not getting a lot of action in the passing game. Currently, he had one reception for 5 yards. It was a touchdown in the game, but only one reception in that game. I believe he only had one target in week one. So yeah. One reception through 2 weeks with a guy who was a true PPR all around back RB1 last year, not giving you what you paid for as far as a price tag in the draft right out the gate. Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster, a RB1 locked in until further notice.
Yeah. You can definitely have him in there. I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
And once again, Ben Roethlisberger, as long as he's playing at home, he is locked in your lineup. A little bit of concern if he is on the road. Eagles-Buccaneers. The Eagles fall 21-27. So Buccaneers got the home win over the Eagles. Ryan Fitzpatrick went nuts, 402 yards, 4 touchdowns. Mike Evans once again had another 100-yard day and touchdown. DeSean Jackson, another long touchdown pass on the first play of the game. In this one, it was a 79-yard touchdown pass right out the gate, and then only gave you 3 more receptions the rest of the game. But currently, first 2 weeks, he's given you 2 long touchdowns, which is vintage DeSean Jackson. I think he is a perfect sell-high candidate myself.
Yeah, currently you can definitely get something for him if need be. I wouldn't get rid of him if I didn't have too much else on your wide receivers. But, yeah, you can get him. I would probably get a running back, nice little solid running back. You might even be able to get 2 players, somebody for your bench and somebody to be able to start.
I agree. I think this is a guy right now. Some people just kind of fall in love with DeSean Jackson. You probably drafted him as a bench guy, not as a starting guy, based on where he was going ADP-wise this year. He's putting up outperforming his draft position right now. He's bound to have his injury concerns going forward, and he's bound to miss some weeks. And if you can get a starting running back and you need some running back depth, I would definitely think about selling DeSean Jackson high. And then we move on to the Colts Redskins. The Redskins laid a total egg here. I don't know if you saw this one coming.
I didn't really see it coming, it looking like that, at least. I wanted a close game or something, but how they came, I guess they were playing Arizona the previous week, so that's probably why they looked so fantastic. But, yeah, this week they did not look great at all.
Adrian Peterson, you might have missed the sale high opportunity on that. I thought it might be after week two. I thought this was going to be the sell high week for him myself. I have him on a couple of rosters where I was thinking, oh, after the Colts, it's time to let go, see what you can get in a bounty. And I missed the train on that one. Jamison Crowder, is he a drop for you?
Yeah, I would probably have to drop him, let him go.
And Chris Thompson, still a PPR stud, 13 receptions, 92 yards. He's going to be getting all of his action through the air. Adrian Peterson still had 3 receptions for 30 yards, so he's still giving you something in PPR formats, but he had a rough day on the ground, and the whole Redskins offense had a rough day on the ground.
Yeah.
Colts offense, Andrew Luck, I think he's locked into your lineup at this point. T.Y. Hilton, we're still waiting to see him break off that long touchdown run, but he has been getting in a getting red zone targets. Two touchdowns, 2 weeks.
He's getting the red zone targets, and he's getting the passes to him. So if in the PPR league, I think he's still, what, he had like 8-7 catches, 83 yards and a touchdown. So he's still giving you decent stats that you're going to be looking for and wanting in your fantasy league. So he is somebody you definitely need to be starting. I would, if I had him on the squad, I would definitely have him starting for sure.
Yeah, 11 targets. He's still a stud. You're right. 7 catches, 83 yards. But PPR format with the touchdown, still right now a juggernaut with, as long as Andrew Luck is behind center.
Yep.
The Cardinals-Rams, we saw this one coming. Jared Goff, another great game. He had marched this team down the field multiple times, only to have Todd Gurley ruin many fantasy owners' days as he rushed for 3 touchdowns in this game. Brandon Cook, 7 receptions, 159 yards. At this point, he is going to be much better than Watkins ever was in this offense. I think the main concern coming out of this is David Johnson.
Most
13
definitely.
Carries, 48 yards.
What do you do? Can you even get rid of him at this point, or should you? I think we should like wait, see what he does next week, and if you're able to get rid of him next week after that, you probably should, because Sam Bradford being the quarterback is not going to help him too much, because people are going to know that Sam Bradford is not going to be able to throw the ball all over the place, so they're constantly going to be coming in on that running game, which will affect your David Johnson for sure, and he won't be putting up the points you were hoping that he was going to be putting up for your fantasy league.
Yeah, no, that David Johnson is a major concern for your fantasy league, because you drafted this guy possibly first overall.
I know some people that did that. Yeah,
I know he was right up there. A lot of people were thinking he's going to come back, hit the ground right where he left off. The problem is Bruce Arians isn't there. So now new head coach Steve Wilks had to come out today and said, I promise I'm going to use this guy in the slot more. This is a until I see it type situation. And then beyond that, you don't have Carson Palmer there anymore yet either. So
exactly.
Totally different offense, totally different system, totally different head coach. I do think there are major concerns for David Johnson moving forward. Interesting game in the Lions 49ers matchup, as the 49ers ran out to a lead only to hang on to the 30-27 victory at home. That defense for San Francisco, not great. Great bounce back game statistically for Matthew Stafford, 347 yards, 3 touchdowns. I think the takeaway from this is you. All 3 wide receivers currently in Detroit, I believe, are either in the wide receiver 2 or flex category.
Yeah, most definitely. Tate will always get you the catches that you need for your PPR leagues. Feeling like Galladay, though, he played pretty well his damn self. 6 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. And for everybody that was hating their their quarterback that they went and got, Matthew Stafford, he like I knew he was going to. He's going to come back and give you the points. His team might not be winning, but he definitely knows how to get up there and get you the points that you need.
Now, on the other side of the ball, Matt Breida and Alfred Morris are the big question marks there. They've been kind of in a timeshare. Breida well outperforming Morris. He had 11 carries for 138 yards and a touchdown, as well as helping you in receptions, as opposed to Alfred Morris, who gave you 14 carries, 48 yards, obviously not nearly running as well between the tackles as Breida. He's not giving you nearly as much in the pass game. I mean, he did give you 2 for 32, so I take that back. Breida had 3 for 21, so he did give you a little bit in the passing game, but Breida well outperforming Morris at this point. Is
you think he's available in a lot of leagues right now? You think Breida is out there? And
I don't think he's out very, no, I think they picked him up after McKinnon got hurt and
jumped on that real
fast. Alfred Morrison and Breida were hot pickups, and If they're out there, I still think Breida is the guy to own at this point. Morris most likely will be phased out as long as Breida can hold up to the workload. The Raiders Broncos, that was a battle till the end. The Raiders had the lead all the way through the game until the final moments. The Broncos scored all 20 of their points in the second half. Amari Cooper went off in this game, 10 receptions, 116 yards. I think the really interesting thing is Derek Carr has really turned into a short yardage passer. He's not taking deep shots anymore.
Is that him or is that the coach?
I think that's more on the coach. And I think that's more on the game plan. And is this good for him or is this bad for him fantasy-wise?
Fantasy-wise, it's going to be bad for him because he's not going to be... I hate when coaches do this to the player. If he has the arm and he has the ability to do that, which we know he does because we've seen him do that the past couple of years, and you're not allowing him to, it's a new game right now. Kids is running down and getting the 70-yard touchdown passes, and if you're just trying to do little 5-yard passes and see what you can get after that, you're going to see how that comes back to bite you in the ass real fast. That's why you send that 0-2.
On the Broncos side, Philip Lindsay, believe, is an RB2 until further notice, and you have to kind of look at Royce Freeman as more of a flex, but he is the goal line guy, so he is totally deployable. He did get 2 goal line carries and converted on one for his first score. The Patriots and Jaguars was an interesting game, to say the least, as Tom Brady was in catch-up mode throughout the game. Jaguars jumped out to a 14-0 lead, went on to a 31-20 lead. Blake Bortles looked like a football god out there, 377 yards, 4 touchdowns. Keelan Cole delivering on his big play ability, 7 receptions, 116 yards, a touchdown. D.D. Westbrook once again delivering as well. He is the PPR guy. Keelan Cole is the standard format big play guy. Both, I think, at this point
can be getting started at this point.
Yeah, they're definitely at the very least in the flex format. And this is what I think is really interesting. Blake Bortles at home versus on the road. Blake Bortles, a much better quarterback at home. They get a great matchup this week at home. I think Keelan Cole and D.D. Westbrook are great flexes.
Yes, we should definitely start him this week. If they're playing at home, you already know that Bortles is going to go out there and give you what he's been giving you at the home game. So, yeah, he definitely have to start him.
T.J. Yeldon led the team in carries. He had 10 carries for 558 yards, so averaged 5.8 yards a carry. The thing is, he only got 10 carries. Corey Grant got in on the action, 4 carries for 13 yards, as well as Brandon Wilds. But Corey Grant also got involved in the passing game, had 6 receptions for 56 yards. So if for some reason Leonard Fournette not playing in week 3, Corey Grant, kind of a sneaky PPR play, at least in daily fantasy. I don't know how much you want to put him on the line in one of your long leagues.
More like a FanDuel or your DraftKings.
Exactly. And moving on, we have the Giants Cowboys. Zeke Elliott carrying the Cowboys to a victory, a 20-30 victory. Eli Manning struggling, not able to get his playmakers involved enough. Saquon Barkley looking good. He's looking good. He's looking like a top back. Not sure still if I would use a number 2 overall pick on him, but at this point, I think he's giving them what they want. He still only had 28 yards rushing, but in the receiving game, 14 receptions for 80 yards. He's kind of given his best run CMC impression there. Ezekiel Elliott, 17 carries for 78 yards, touchdown. Like I said, he was the offense there. Dak Prescott did a great job managing this game, making plays. He made plays in the running game and in the passing game. I'm just concerned about him being a fantasy asset going forward as opposed to being a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, wouldn't take him for a fantasy league just because of the way that the coaching is going with that. They're not playing the game to benefit your fantasy league. They're playing just to benefit their team, and that's what they'll do. He'll probably won't get more than 25. If he gets a 30 yard or 30 passes in one game, I'd be surprised. They're going to keep him right around 20, 25 passes, and Ezekiel is going to be running the ball probably 30, 35 times a damn game.
Is Zeke the only fantasy asset worth deploying on the Dallas Cowboys at the moment?
At this point, yeah.
Okay. Finally, the Monday night game, the Seahawks-Bears. Not a whole lot to say about the Seahawks. That offense is not good. I wouldn't have anything to do with deploying Penny or Chris Carson. Will Disley is a thing?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? He had his second solid game for the Seahawks.
Just can't jump on it yet. I'm not taking it. Week two, I'm not sold on it yet. Let's say that. I'm not mad at him. He's doing his thing, but I'm not taking it yet.
All right. Will Disley, 3 receptions, 42 yards, touchdown. Tyler Lockett had a good game, 5 receptions, 60 yards, touchdown. Possible flex asset moving forward. Russell Wilson, not one of his better fantasy games. He only had 226 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, did throw an interception, and was harassed by the Chicago Bears defense that had 6 sacks.
It was bad, man.
Man, Russell Wilson's been sacked 12 times in the last 2 games.
That offensive line is not there. And this was like his first pick 6 that he's thrown since he started his career. So that offensive line, they need some help out there.
Trying to find Rashad Penny through a pick 6. Really ended the game for the Seattle Seahawks. Allen Robinson had 10 receptions, 83 yards. Good to see that. Jordan Howard still involved in the passing game, 3 receptions, but on the ground, ineffective against that Seattle defense. Are there any concerns about Jordan Howard going forward?
No, I wouldn't jump on any kind of thing to be upset right now. You don't need to worry about it. Still hold on to him. I'll let you know when to get rid of him.
And Allen Robinson, do you think he's just basically, he will go as far as Mitch Trubisky lets him?
That's the only thing, because he had anybody else throwing him the ball, he'd definitely be a go pick him up. I want you to go have him on your team and everything. But yeah, with the quarterback, I just don't see Trubisky giving him the kind of passes that he needs to benefit your fantasy league.
All right, breaking down a few free agent finds going into week 3. We're looking at Giovanni Bernard of the Cincinnati Bengals, probably is your number one pickup, depending on if you need running back, wide receiver, and as far as running back, this is a guy who, at least for the next 2 weeks, possibly the next 4 weeks, is going to be a true workhorse in Cincinnati's backfield. He's a guy that catches balls, so he's going to be a true PPR maven. RB2 with RB1 upside, do you think?
I can see that happening. What makes you just have his back so much in that? Did he show you something that you're definitely going with, or you just feel like the team in general will be going his way when he's on the field?
And then we have Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic.
Did you see that guy after that game?
You mean McGregor? He truly looked like Conor McGregor.
I had to double look. I thought the same thing when I saw his ass up there. But guess what? That was DeSean Jackson giving him his chains, and that was his jacket, I guess, too. And he gave it to him like, oh, yeah, you know you're going to be out there talking, so here, go put this on real fast. So I thought that was hilarious. But it's good to see them enjoying themselves, though, for the time being.
Fitzmagic is hashtag swag. If you at all have had a slow start to your quarterback position, he is readily available, and currently the talk is he is earning the start over Jameis Winston. Now, that's not obviously guaranteed, but the way he's playing, it's hard to bench the hot hand. And DeSean Jackson came out today and said the exact same thing.
Yeah, I don't see them getting rid of him, or not getting rid of him, but putting him on the bench with the way that he's playing right now. You can't do that. I'm sorry.
No, he's playing at a level that is only being outplayed by an even more insane level of Patrick Mahomes. So currently, you can't really, until the Fitz magic comes to an end, it's really hard to keep to not keep putting him out there. So John Brown, ESPN League, still trying to figure out why he's only rostered in 23.9% of leagues. This guy is the big play guy in the Baltimore offense, and you're looking at a guy who's 2 weeks, two touchdowns, and had double-digit targets in week two.
So I'm thinking that you got to get him on your team, even if he's sitting on your bench, to make sure that he's going to continue putting up those scores for you. But yeah, I don't see why that you wouldn't have that guy on your team right now.
I think John Brown is a flex depending on your week to week matchup. Moving us along, Chris Godwin also available readily in 66% of ESPN leagues. This guy has been nothing short of spectacular the first 2 weeks of the season for the Buccaneers. He's got two touchdowns through the first two games. He's got eight receptions for 97 yards and is currently in the wide receiver three category and definitely in the flex category if you haven't gotten him in there. Another guy I'm very much interested in is Tyler Boyd of the Cincinnati Bengals. Six receptions, 96 yards, and a touchdown.
When you got Dalton throwing the ball like that, yeah, that's going to be somebody you can definitely pick up.
Do you think he is a guy that will become a flex asset moving forward, or do you think this was just a matchup-dependent scenario?
Personally, probably more of the matchup at this point until I can see some more from him. But if you're Dalton and you got him and you got your other wide receiver over there,
AJ
over there running around and getting them points, he's going to only be helping you out. And that'll help AJ out a lot with Dalton having somebody else to throw the ball to. So that is somebody that I would definitely keep an eye on while the season progresses.
You still have the likes of Austin Eckler available in 57% of leagues, who had another 77 yards rushing and is heavily used in the passing game. Going to give you flex to RB2 numbers moving forward. If Melvin Gordon ever ends up getting injured, then you're looking at a guy that is truly in the RB1 status and is a lottery ticket sitting on your bench who is actually usable. It's typically the opposite, where you're just stashing a lottery ticket. This is a lottery ticket you get to use week to week. Geronimo Allison, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, only owned in 9.2% of ESPN leagues, came off a six reception game for 64 yards, more of a PPR guy, but he is in this Green Bay offense. What do you think about adding Geronimo Allison to your roster?
Again, if you got some room on your team and you're looking for somebody at this point, he would be a good person to pick up. I mean, for God's sake, he got Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. You know that the ball is going to be getting out to the wide receivers on that team more than a lot of these other teams, so wouldn't be a bad pickup at all.
Another guy I really like, Mike Williams of the LA Chargers, available in 64% of leagues. He found the end zone and is looking more and more and more like the red zone threat for the San Diego Chargers. So he's kind of playing that tight end role for the Chargers since they don't have a vintage Antonio Gates anymore. We haven't really seen much from Antonio Gates. Virgil Green, probably actually the best tight end on that roster. He's more of a pass blocking guy. So if you had to pick up a wide receiver right now, you had John Brown, you had Chris Godwin, you have Geronimo Allison, and you have Mike Williams to choose from, who are you taking?
I don't know if I would take Mike Williams. Been playing great. But with that team, knowing that they're running the ball a lot because they got Gordon that they can just hand the ball off to, and yeah, you know what? Yeah, I would take him. I could pick him up over the rest of those guys. Just for the fact that Rivers is that kind of quarterback that he keeps his eyes open for who's open, as opposed to having that one guy that he just wants to throw the ball to all the time. And I can see Williams getting open a lot on that team. So he would definitely get you some points.
I think I'd have a Godwin Williams, that be thinking about Allison. I there are still the likes of Keelan Cole out there. I know I've talked about him before. You have Antonio Callaway out there who is intriguing. He is very readily available, only owned in 4% of ESPN leagues. And with Josh Gordon gone, he is the de facto number two guy there. Yeah,
he's there.
And I think there is upside. And then the last guy I really want to talk about before we get out of here, Andy Dalton, in Bill Lazor's offense. This is his first full year. He had a full offseason, played about half the season as Bill Lazor being the OC last year. Looks phenomenal. He's available in 82% of ESPN leagues. Is this a guy that could be a QB1 going forward in 12-team leagues?
I see that definitely. Yeah, that's going to happen. Yeah, I don't know why people wouldn't be picking this kid up with the stuff that he's been doing for the past 2 weeks.
I think you have some really interesting guys out there right now, who for some reason or another are looked down upon. I think the Red Rifle and Andy Dalton is a guy that if you are struggling at all at quarterback, you're thinking about picking him up. I think you should be thinking about picking up Blake Bortles as well. No matter what you think about Blake Bortles, he's constantly finishing in the top 13 and fantasy finishes at the quarterback position. He just you have to know which weeks to deploy him. And honestly, I think those are pretty easy to spot with a guy like that. So, any other guys that you want to bring up for waiver wire or anything like that?
Wavering? No, not too many, because you get in that second week, this is when everybody's pretty much getting picked up and everybody's running around trying to grab everyone and messing their teams all up. So I would just say be patient, stick with the team that you got. Unless you have one of the people that we've already mentioned that are there and available for you, your team will be okay. You have a couple more weeks before you have to start being scared and shocked and trying to change a team all up real fast.
All right, guys. Not really any unusual names out there this week, I don't think. I haven't really found any diamonds in the rough yet. I think we're going to need another couple weeks
before those start popping out.
They start popping, we'll need obviously some injuries to happen, which we don't want, but will ultimately happen. The diamonds will be coming. Until then, you just got to hit those mainline guys. You got to find the guys that are on fire right now. The Ryan Fitzpatricks. You have to find the surefire thing to get you until Ingram comes back and Giovanni Bernard. Maybe you got Ingram and you're like, man, oh, I started off 0-2 and I need to get 2 wins before Ingram comes back. Well, guess what? You go out, you get Bernard. That's going to help you get those W's.
Yeah, most definitely.
Till then, continue listening to some more PDX Fantasy Sports Pundits. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Kevin Davis.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.